This podcast is brought to you by Touch a Life.
Hello, listeners. I am your host, Jayashree, and you are listening to Trial Radio powered by Touch a Life Foundation. Welcome to Leadership for Life with Kira Kavanaugh, president of 15B Wellbeing, a company dedicated towards creating learning experiences for leading corporations, workplaces, teams, groups, and individuals, because they believe that no one should sacrifice well-being for performance. In today's interview, we are going to focus on this beautiful concept of inner transformation. And that's something which is the need of the hour, I believe, because we have a lot of technology being innovated, and there are loads and loads of new things that are coming up. But it's far more important for us to know and learn from within what we actually are and what we actually can be. So this is about unveiling your self journey to inner transformation. So we have the wonderful Kira Kavanaugh with us yet again, and I really can't wait to welcome Kira onto our show. Hello, Kira. Welcome back on Trial Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Hello. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be back today and talking about this topic of leadership that's near and dear to my heart.
Beautiful. So let's begin with the questions. My first and foremost question to you is, how can we identify our core values and beliefs to align them with our leadership style?
This is such a great question. I appreciate this question so much. So I never really even knew what my values were. I know so many people who are what we call values driven. From a very young age and stage of their lives, they just knew honesty was important, or caring for others was important to them, or integrity was just at their core. And I didn't really grow up that way. And so I so appreciate your question, because I came into actually identifying my values much, much later in life. So when I think about how to answer that question, there are two ways that I would approach it. One, if you've never really thought about what your values are. So what do we mean by values? We mean the things that are core to who you are and how you show up in the world, the choices you make, the opportunities you pursue, the work that you do, is all driven by a set of core values. And if you've never really thought about that, you can start by getting really curious about, well, who am I? What's important to me? What are the patterns that when I look at my life, what are the patterns that I see? So let's say caring and concern, or here's a good one, being in service to others. Perhaps you've never really thought about it in that way, but when you look at your life, you think, oh my goodness, at every turn, I chose to be in service. So you may not have identified, put the words together, but you think, oh yeah, being of service to others is very core to who I am, very important. So that's one way to do it, is to just think about the patterns in your life. The other way is really the way I came into it. That's a really fun exercise that I can share with you really briefly that anyone can do. So I would encourage you to search online a list of core values, and you'll see so many words. And then using that list, start to make choices. If you look through that list, maybe some of the words will stand out to you. For me, I thought I came up with like 15 words that were all important to me. The goal is really to get at the core, the most driving values, the things that you care most about. So the way that I learned to do it was to just take them in pairs and choose between A and B, A and B, A and B. Okay, now you've gotten halfway through the list. And then just keep doing it with the words you chose until you get a set of core values. Usually experts say somewhere around 5. You could maybe have 6, maybe have 3 or 4. Somewhere around 5 is really going to challenge you to think about it. And then ask yourself how those values are playing out in your life so far, And now that you've got a deeper sense of what's important to you, how can you lead? How can you make choices? How can you show up with people in relationships and at work that really align with those core values that you've chosen?
Beautifully explained, Kira. This is such an amazing way to put it. And I am kind of, you know, thinking that in my head right now when you were talking about it. You know, what are my core values and how did I come up with them? So such a thought-provoking one. Beautifully put. To move forward, what steps can we take to understand our strengths and weaknesses as a leader more deeply?
This requires humility. And like you said so beautiful at the outset of our conversation, it requires some inner work. It requires the opportunity and the willingness to be curious about what we think are our strengths. So I'll give you an example. Communication is a strength of mine. It's very easy for me to find words and to use those words to build connections with other people. But I have not always been kind with my words. I've not always been conscious of the impact that my words will have on you if I'm leading you. The way that I came to understand my strength and the weakness that was connected to that strength was to get feedback and to ask people what they think your strengths are, what they think your opportunities or weaknesses are, takes a tremendous amount of courage, risk, willing to sit in that vulnerability because, like me, you might not like what you hear. Oftentimes, we're driven from an internal desire, but we don't always have the perspective of the impact of that drive, the impact of that desire, even the impact of our values on others around us. So we can do that inner work to understand. You could just sit down with a journal or take notes on a device and ask yourself, what do I think my strengths are as a leader? I'm empathetic. Okay, that's a great strength. Now, what's the flip side of that? If empathy is a strength of mine, I know the weakness. I know the opportunity. Sometimes I give so much of myself that I can open myself up to less than positive motives in others. In other words, my willingness to give you the benefit of the doubt first and to be empathetic means sometimes I'm taken advantage of. I could put up defenses around that, or I could get really curious about it and think, because what we want to do ultimately is lead with our strengths, always be cognizant and working on growth around those opportunities. And when we look at those two in opposition, like everything, the beautiful opportunity is in the middle, in the gray. So going back to my example, if I know that I tend to be very empathetic, and I know sometimes that means I'm going to trust and get taken advantage of, then there's this beautiful middle that I can lean into and I can practice so that I borrow and pull from the strength and also manage the weakness so that I can find that optimum point.
Wonderful, wonderful. And everything goes hand in hand and you got to find that gray area. Beautifully put again. Moving on, how do we uncover, you know, our unique leadership qualities and leadership purpose? And what role does self-awareness play in becoming a leader that we aspire to be?
Self-awareness is everything because of that impact. When we're in a leadership role at work, in our community, in our family, there is a power inherent in that role of leader. And we do right by recognizing that power, honoring and respecting that power, and using that position of leadership, whether that's formal or informal, to the good of all. If we're not aware or not willing to do that self-introspection, we may not fully understand how we're using this awesome opportunity of leadership to the fullest potential. That's really true for everything in life, right? We can take action, or we can take action from a mindful place, from a present place, from a humble place of understanding that every action that I take, every choice I make, every word I speak has a ripple effect to the people, to the families, to the communities, to the clients that I'm serving. So recognizing what our relationship is to that awesome power that we hold as a leader, and to recognize that using that power does not always mean, and I would argue more often does not mean, using force, force in our words, force in our actions, force in our choices. And the other piece of it is that to lead means that there are people that are following, and those people are human beings. And those folks have aspirations and desires and are leading in their own ways. So if I see myself as a leader in a vacuum, I have power, I am a leader, I am beholden to no one, that is not at all the same as recognizing I am a leader. I serve everyone. I see things that other people may not see. And my awesome responsibility and great privilege is to bring them along, to wrap them up in a big circle of, you know, sort of unification, and to consider what it is that they need, what it is that they desire, what it is that will help us share in the pursuits, the goals, the achievements that we can achieve together so much more powerfully than I can all by myself.
Beautifully answered. You have, hit the nail there, because the unique leadership qualities and the purpose is all driven by self-awareness. And that's wonderfully put. Can you also suggest any exercises or techniques to help people explore their passions and interests in relation to leadership?
Yes. Patterns, you said the word pattern. I think that that's the perfect place to start. So we talked about looking at patterns from a values perspective. We can also look at patterns of our own leadership journey. So to say, what kinds of environments, what kinds of subjects, what kinds of speed, what kinds of people, what kinds of work bring out your best? How do you know that? By writing them down. What are all of the situations, the kinds of people, the places that you've worked or led in whatever capacity, where you felt most alive, most joyful, most powerful? And start to look for patterns. And then also make a list of the times that you have felt least confident about leading, really questioning, really wondering. When you've been in roles, and we're all leaders, right? We all lead every day because people are watching us, because people are being impacted by us. So where are the times that things were not running smoothly? Times maybe where you were leading your family, where there was just a lot of strain. And then write down, what were the ways you were showing up? What kinds of patterns did you see in the way you behaved, in the way others reacted to you? And we can do this through journaling. I love brainstorming, just making lists. And this doesn't have to take a long time. Oftentimes when we're doing these kinds of activities, we do them most aligned with our truth when we do them quickly. So we can belabor things like this. We can think, oh, that's something I'll do on Saturday. But it's not always something we feel like we can just automatically dive into. So I would encourage that any of these reflective activities that you may try, do them quickly. Set a timer and give yourself 2 minutes to brainstorm all of the times you felt most alive leading other people. in whatever capacity, and then stop. You might even get up and take a break and come back and look at the list and see, maybe you'll find one pattern, maybe you won't find any. Set it down, come back to it, go off in your life, do other things, come back to it, add to it, or maybe then you'll start to see patterns. Maybe you'll be dreaming, maybe you'll be bathing, and bing, you'll start to put those patterns together. The other way that I would really encourage you to think about activities is to ask people. Ask people for their feedback. What are your strengths as a leader? Where are you challenged? Where do people see you struggling? So if you're in a workplace, you might ask your peers. You might ask people that report to you if you're a people manager. You might ask your clients. You might ask your manager or the people one level above you. If you're in your family, you can even ask children. When do you feel safest and most comfortable in our family? When does it feel really uncomfortable? And they may say, sometimes children will give us the best truths. It's when you yell at me, or it's when you're on your phone and you're distracted and not paying attention to me. So we can do this with the very smallest of humans. We can do this in our communities as well. Here's the thing, we have to be willing to take in, listen, and contemplate their feedback. Not to get defensive, but to feel if that defensiveness is starting to grow in us, and to become contemplative, to set that aside, feel your feelings, and then when you feel ready, come back to that feedback and make one choice, not 10 choices. You can make a list of 10 aspirational changes you'd like to make, but we need to work on them one at a time.
Wonderful. After understanding this kind of exercises, it makes it much easier for a normal person also, like, you know, if somebody is not in a leadership role, even for them to relate to whatever we are speaking so beautifully and try to find that innate ability in them and, you know, build that leader in them up. So that's a beautiful way to put it. Having understood this, there are a lot of situations that people are really scared about in life, especially when they're trying to achieve something professionally and personally, both at times. And as you said, we are all leaders. We are all trying to lead in our own ways, our own things that we do in our day-to-day lives. So there are a lot of barriers that we encounter. So how can we overcome such personal barriers or limiting beliefs that may be hindering our leadership potential?
That is such a powerful question. I love your questions. How can we become aware? I feel like just sitting with that amazing, powerful question is the first step. Just ask yourself, you know? That's why I appreciate you reading it again, because there's such power in even just dissecting that question. So what are the obstacles that you feel like you're facing? We've talked before in previous episodes about perceived obstacles and systemic structural obstacles. Do you know what they are? Have you identified them? Because so much of what we perceive can just sit in our heads, our hearts, and our bodies without analysis. And sometimes that's what's called for. But inherent in your question is really the opportunity to be able to really write down, really dance it out, sing a song about the obstacles that you feel that you're facing, real and perceived, and get comfortable with those obstacles. Because sometimes those obstacles are very oppressive. Sometimes those obstacles are traumatizing. Sometimes those obstacles leave us feeling so small and so powerless. Can you do artwork around your obstacles? Can you move that energy so that those obstacles aren't something that's just happening to you, that are constricting you and making you small and making you feel powerless and hopeless and helpless? What can we do with giving expression, breath, space, acknowledgement to those obstacles? What happens? They become less than. they become, we become aware of them so that we can start to address them. As long as we're carrying them around and we're not identifying them, they can have a hold on us subconsciously and consciously. But when we breathe into them, not to glorify our oppressors, not to forgive the systems that feel like unattainable, unscalable obstacles. It's not to say that any of that is okay, but it's to take personal ownership and understanding of what those are and the impact that they're having on you in this moment today. Because once we identify them, we breathe into them, we express them through art and dance and journaling and song and whatever way you feel like expressing them, screaming, yelling, punching a pillow, whatever it is, we release their hold on us. We release their hold on us, and then we stand in our power. Then we stand as a leader, and we can ask ourselves, what will I do? What will I do? See, when that's pressing on us, it constricts our energy and limits our options, limits our creativity, limits our potential to see what's possible. So when we acknowledge and express and open and breathe into them, now they're mine. Now they're my obstacles. It's not happening to me. Now I am seeing them and I have choice. How will I choose? I choose mindset, attitudes, behaviors, even how I express the emotions attached to them. Now they're mine. Now I can feel the leadership, the power inside of me for choice. And choice gives us infinite potential because now I choose. It doesn't mean those systems go away. It means that I can get clarity that I have choice, so I can get clarity about the choice. Does that make sense?
Very, very much. Thank you so much for putting it so beautifully well. The way you articulate your answers, you know, makes us really imagine the situation and, you know, try to relate, connect and understand and actually solve it then and there.
Good.
So I am really glad I'm having such conversations with you, Kira. I think I'm really lucky to do that.
Thank you so much. I feel the same way about you.
Thank you. That's so sweet. For my last question, and this is the last for the day. So how do we ensure ongoing self-discovery and personal growth as a leader?
Through conscious thought, action, and behavioral choice. Ultimately, we have a choice about how we live our lives and about how we lead. And that can be through mindfulness, through being present and being conscious and aware, like you so beautifully expressed, building that internal dialogue, that building the capability to tap into that inner wisdom or not. And it goes back to that choice. Certainly you have a choice to be an unenlightened leader. We all have that choice. And then I would ask, how is that serving you? Is it giving you great senses of accomplishment and connection and peace and purpose and mission? Okay. Then maybe you're not ready for that next level of going deeper to a higher state of awareness and enlightenment. And that's your choice. We have free will. I would suggest that if, like so many of us are, we're desiring to create meaning, we're desiring to feel like we matter, that our presence and our life on this planet in this moment is so beautiful and so purposeful that we're compelled to be aware in this moment right now of who I am. How do I want to impact my world? Even if it's just inside the four walls of my home, how will I lead using this awesome, awesome gift of life in this body, in this moment, in this family, in this community, in this culture, in this organization, in this industry, in this country, in this world? What will I make of this moment? That's ultimately the biggest opportunity we have, being alive and stepping fully into our leadership. That's a choice that you get to make. And it's an awesome choice. And it involves open-heartedness. It involves courage. It involves committing to a life of and a journey of self-awareness, of riding the ups and downs, and remaining hopeful and joyful in our hearts and cultivating practices to do that. I hope that helps.
It definitely does. An ultimate purpose of this particular conversation, I feel it's complete now. I really feel it's complete. Because it's extremely important that we understand what we truly are from within, and you know, have that strength to go for an inner transformation to make ourselves better and better leaders at that. And this kind of a self's journey is extremely important. So thank you so much, Kira, for your wonderful time yet again today and your beautiful expertise. And thank you so much. It was great talking to you, and it was wonderful to have you share such wonderful tips with all of our listeners. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you all today.
So that was Kira Kavanaugh for all of you today, and you're listening to Tal Radio, powered by Touch a Life Foundation. Stay tuned and keep learning.
You have just listened to Tal Radio podcast. For more podcasts, visit www.touchalife.org.